good. I hope they heard all that as well. And we're on Facebook Live. Please use your social media accounts responsibly and in love and all of that. And let's be good. Let's be salt and light in the world that we're in. All right, I want to talk to you today. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had anybody offer you advice that you did not ask for? How do you like that? You like it when people do that? especially when somebody offers advice that you didn't really ask for, or maybe you did, but maybe their answer doesn't, then you're kind of left with this feeling like, you don't know my situation, don't offer me this advice, you don't know my situation, you don't know what I'm going through, and we're kind of bothered by that, aren't we? We don't take that well all the time, and especially when and I think a lot of times we get this idea, well, man, that's easy for you to say. It's like if a millionaire walks in here and tells you how to manage your money. Now, we ought to have respect for somebody who's done well, but it's easy for you to say. It's easy for you to say. You're not in my situation. You don't know my situation, and so forth. So, and to top it all off, when their advice seems ridiculous to you, that's when it really gets hard. Now, if you're new to the Bible, and if you're new to reading, maybe you're just starting. We have a lot of brand new Christians. And by the way, we're going to be having a baptism service here in just a few weeks, and so you can look forward to that. What was I talking about before I said that? I got myself off track. Oh yeah, especially when it seems kind of ridiculous. If you're new to the Bible, maybe you're just beginning to read it. There's some parts of the Bible that kind of seem like, wait, what? Like they're kind of counterintuitive. Like when Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Say that to a child. Ask them if they believe that. At Christmas morning, let your children wake up to an empty tree, okay, and say, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And see how they like that. Yeah. And pity their kids, would you? But there's things like that, and we're going to talk about one today that really is kind of really out there, and it's written by the man James. James is actually one of my, I wouldn't call him heroes. I don't know that it's necessarily, I don't know that I have heroes in the Bible, but James is one of these people who, he wrote the book of James, obviously. He is not the James, not the apostle, but we believe he's the James, the brother of Jesus, or the half-brother of Jesus. Now, the reason that I feel like I should listen to him regardless of what he says is because he was the half-brother of Jesus, and he grew up with Jesus, and at some point he watched Jesus throughout his life. He listened to his brother say, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Son of God. Now, can you imagine, how many of you have a brother? Raise your hand. What if your brother said to you, by the way, I'm the Son of God? What would it have taken for you to believe him? I mean, seriously, think about it. Well, I'll tell you what it would probably take. It would probably take your brother saying, by the way, yeah, I'm the Son of God, I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'm going to rise again, and you're going to watch me do it. And if he did that, you probably would believe it, yes? If you watched him die, and you watched him be buried, and then you watched him rise again. And so for me, James' credibility is way up here. Anything that James says, I feel like, man, I really, now, again, please understand, I believe everything the Bible says. But as a person, James and what he chooses, or what God chose to use him to say, it really resonates very, very well with me. And so we're going to look at something that he said, though, that's pretty far out there. It's way out there in terms of us looking at it saying, wait, what? That's what I'm supposed to do? But I think we ought to give him a listen. Let's take a look at James chapter number 1 and verse number 1. James, servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me just stop again and remind you. This is the half-brother of Jesus, and he is calling Jesus his Lord. Now, if James, who is the half-brother of Jesus, grew up with him, knew him as well as anybody, if not better, if he calls him his Lord, then shouldn't we believe that there? I mean, if Jesus convinced him, he ought not to have that much trouble convincing us. And so, but here we go. So James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. He is kind of giving a very brief greeting here. And by the way, James is the other reason I like James is James is pretty much right to the point. This is all he gives as an introduction to his book. You know, sometimes you read the letters of Paul, and he goes on and on at the beginning about, you know, oh, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, talking to the church of the Philippians, at Philippi, and, you know, he'll go into some lengthy introduction and thank them, and I praise God for this and that. James is just basically, hey, look, I'm writing to the 12 tribes that are scattered. They're kind of all over the world. He said, but let me get right to the point, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse or various temptations. We could also say trials. Now, that right there is one of these things that you look at and you say, wait a minute. I'm supposed to count it all joy when I fall into temptations or trials. And when it says fall into, it literally, if I wanted to tease these words out, it literally means to fall into something. You know, to fall in. If you ever watch somebody fall into a pool or something like that, and that's funny, by the way. Watching people fall. Yeah, I know. I said watching people fall. Seeing people fall is funny. Whether you, some of you don't believe that, but it is. You just get on YouTube and watch enough of that, and you'll find that's funny stuff. But you know, but I always picture falling into a mud puddle. Have you ever watched a child fall face first into a mud puddle? That is good stuff. That is hilarious stuff. I'm right, aren't I? Yeah. See, that's a mom right there. She said that is absolutely hilarious. Paxel does that. She just laughs and laughs. So, but here. So he's counted all joy. All right, come back to me now. Okay, put your phones down. Some of you are on YouTube right now. You're looking for it. Put your phones away. I'll be done in about an hour. I'm just kidding. Count it all joy. Boy, I got quiet there. Count it all joy. He said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You know, and so he's just, James is getting right into this. And he said, there is something that you ought to consider to be a joyful time. A happy time when you fall. A happy time. It's blessed. That means happy. He said it's a good thing when you and it's a, you know, the title of my message was the joy of falling. By the way, do you know it doesn't hurt to fall? It hurts to land, but it doesn't hurt to fall. Look, that's why we fall. That's why we fall as Christians many times, because it doesn't hurt to fall. It doesn't hurt to get high again. It hurts when you land. It doesn't hurt to get into debt again. It hurts once you're in debt, trying to pay it back. You see what I mean? This is why we do that. But this is when he's talking about falling here. This isn't necessarily because of something that we do. But notice he said when you fall. He said when you fall. He didn't say if you fall. He said when you fall into temptations. Now there are going to be times when we fall into or we find ourselves surrounded by temptations, surrounded by trials. It's kind of the same thing. You see, temptation is a trial we're going to see of our faith. See, when I'm tempted by something, that's a trial. I'm testing my faith. Do I believe that God can help me through this temptation? And it's also sometimes when it's not something that we did. How many of you, again, don't raise your hand, but how many of you, you're going through a trial right now? I mean, you're going through a trial. I said don't raise your hand. You're disobedient people. Here, we put you. I bragged about you, Joe. No, you know what? That's one of the things I love about Joe. Man, he's just on. You fit in so well around here. We're all just honest. This is an honest place. This is a place where it's like, yeah, man, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. And we've had, yeah, this is how we do things here. We believe in being honest and being real because we're family, and we're here to help each other. So, you know, but you may be going through a trial right now or a temptation. Kind of, I look at temptations that may be something that we did to ourselves. We put ourselves in a bad situation. Maybe we were being careless. That's why we fell. But sometimes we don't look for the temptation or the trial. Sometimes it looks for us. So, James says, look, it's going to happen. There are going to be times when it's going to be tough. There's going to be times we got Haven out here. I feel for our teenagers right now. I don't even know how in the world you do. I have so much respect for a teenager that lives life any kind of decent right now because I don't think I could have when I was your age. And if you were honest, some of you would say the same thing. Hey, if you had access to pornography the way that they do, you'd be on it every day. You'd have been on it every day. Wow, Ken. You're going to have to come up here and help me because they're leaving me. You know, if you had access to the kind of stuff, if you're exposed to the kind of stuff that they're exposed to all the time, our minds would have been so messed up. I have great admiration for young people who live their lives any kind of right at all, because this is a tough, tough world. So we're going to fall sometimes, and we're going to find ourselves in situations like that. So first of all, he says, look, you fall. And the second thing is you're surrounded by some kind of temptation. And so this is a difficult time. Now, I think a lot of times, though, we look at that and we say, well, why is, and I've had people say to me, well, I don't know why God is doing this to me. I want you to understand, there are a lot of reasons why we fall, but God is not one of them. Again, let's listen to James. Don't take my word for it. Let's listen to what James has to say. Look at verse number 13. He said, I want you to know something. It's not God who's tempting you. It's not God who's tempting you with some kind of... God does not test you with sin, by the way. Don't think that God is testing you when you see something and you're watching TV and something comes across there and you're tempted to watch that. That is not God tempting you. This is a tough crowd. Where's that root? I need that beer back. This is a tough crowd. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt anyone. But I'll be honest with you, I hear that all the time. I have people say to me, why is God doing this to me? Why is God putting me through this? Why is God? And I want to say, God's not doing that to you, you're doing that to you. In fact, I do say that most of the time. You know, we think that God is tempting us. Look at verse 14. But everyone is tempted when he is drawn away. Drawn away from what? Or should I say drawn away from whom? You see, we're tempted. If God is leading, we're supposed to follow God, right? We talk about kind of some churchy expressions, walk with God, follow God, yes? We all agree that's the right thing. If we're following God, it means we're kind of dialed in. We're like right on his back. We're in a parade, and we're just following God. If we do that, we're fine. But none of us do that all the time. We're drawn away because we don't keep our eyes on him. We look off to the side, whoa, hey, that looks good to me. Yes? And so we're drawn away a little bit. That's when we're tempted. We're tempted when we're drawn away from following him. And so what he's saying is God's not tempting you. God was right where he was when you left him. But we are drawn away sometimes. We all are. We all have certain things. Don't raise your hand again, but we all have our sin temptations, don't we? Yes. I'll be honest with you. I do not know what it feels like to be addicted to a drug or to alcohol or to cigarettes. But you know, those are pretty minor sins compared to the ones that are in me that you don't know about. You can tell so much by who says amen. I mean, you can just tell so much. Look, pride is a much greater sin than alcoholism. Pride, in fact, pride's kind of the big one. It's the one that took Satan down. The one that took the greatest angel who was ever created, the one who turned Lucifer into Satan, was pride. It wasn't drugs, it wasn't cigarettes, it wasn't eating, it wasn't lying, it was pride. So the point is, but we've all got our own things, and we're all tempted sometimes. Now, how does that become something that we should be joyful about? I mean, this is where it really gets odd that James says, count it all joy. So whether the temptation that we're in or the trial that we're in is something that I chose or something that chose me, he said, I think you ought to have some, he said, you ought to look at this as an opportunity. You ought to turn your thinking around a little bit, and that's where we go back. Let's go back now. Why does James say that? Let's go back to verse 3. Knowing this, he said, in other words, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations or trials. Count it all joy when your car breaks down. Really? Count it all joy when you're back in debt again. Really? Count it all joy when you relapse. Count it all joy when your relationship, your marriage is having problems, is having trouble. Wow. How are we supposed to find joy in that? He said, because of this. Knowing this, he said, you already know this, but he's going to say it anyway, that the trying of your faith works patience. Amen. The trying of, in other words, the trying of your faith, putting your faith on trial and seeing really is it as strong as you think it is, that is what causes you to learn patience. Now, when it says patience there, we could substitute the word perseverance in there. In other words, he said, you don't know what you're made of until you're tested. That's what he's saying. And he said, and in fact, if you never get tested, you'll never grow. The only way you get tested, the only way you get stronger, the only way your faith grows is to have it tested and see how you're going to respond. He said, that's why you should count it all joy. That's why you need to turn your thinking around. Now, please understand, he's not saying that the fact that you're in that. If you've gotten yourself into debt, or I've gotten myself into debt, or I've gotten myself addicted to something, or I've gotten my relationships messed up in my life, that is not the good part. God didn't do that. I did that. I shouldn't celebrate that, and I shouldn't do it on purpose. But he says, once you're there and you recognize you're there, now look at it as an opportunity. See, God may not have been with me getting myself into a mess, but he wants to be with me getting myself out of a mess. That's where the opportunity is. And he said, so count it all joy, because the trying of your faith works patience. Now, what is faith? You know, let me just say this. Every trial does two things. Every trial does two things. Let me show them to you. Number one, every trial or every temptation does two things. Number one, it exposes our true faith. It does. Hey, are you facing a trial right now? Did you get a diagnosis? Is it time to pay the piper, so to speak, on some things that you purchased? Did you make a bad decision? Did you do something in your relationship? Did you break a trust? Did you do this? You know, teenagers or adults or whatever, you know, whatever the situation is, it's exposing our true faith. So we've got ourselves in a bad situation. We've got ourselves in a trial or a temptation. The question is, it's going to expose our true faith. In other words, we're about to find out, do I really believe God can help me? Yes? How much do I believe God can help me? It exposes our true faith. Let's face it, we all say we believe. We all say, oh, trust God. I've had people say to me all the time, well, you just should just give it to God. Well, first of all, it's kind of back to what I was talking about earlier. Easy for you to say. You're not the one been diagnosed. You're not the one in financial difficulty. You're not the one whose husband's leaving you. You're not the one whose child is doing this. You're not the one. You don't know my situation. You know, again, I don't want to get into too many details, because that can hurt people, but it exposes our true faith. Are you going to stick it out? Are you going to continue to believe in God? Well, how long are you going to do that? Like, if God doesn't come through when we think he ought to come through, we have a tendency to say, well, you know what? I'm going to bail on this. I'm going to bail on this God thing. It exposes our true faith. The second thing it does, which is the good part, it proposes a new faith. Hey, I worked really hard on that yesterday. Some of you should say, oh, you should write that. Nobody's writing that down. Did anybody? Are you writing that down? Thank you, Lee. I appreciate it. Oh, you are writing that down. I really did. I spent like 15 minutes trying to come up with the right words there. It proposes a new faith. What do I mean by that? If we understand, okay, what God is saying is, maybe you had a lapse in your faith. Maybe you were not at your best. You got yourself into this temptation, or you got yourself into this trial, and now you're facing this. He said, what you can look at this, though, is you can realize it exposed my true faith. It exposed that I really was not where I thought I was with God. But God says, but now that you're here, count it all joy, because I'm going to propose a new faith for you. I'm going to propose something that will take you from the place you were and help you to grow. It proposes a new faith, a stronger faith, a better faith. So what is faith? What is faith? When he says the trying of your faith, I think a lot of times we think of faith the way we see it. You know, people say, you know, people have all kinds of definitions of faith, and you can define faith any way you want to. But can I tell you what faith is not? Faith is not getting God to do something he was not already planning to do. Okay, faith is not you putting money in that offering plate that just went by saying, you know what, God, I'm going to put this dollar in here. I expect you to make it $10. And God says, to you. You just wasted a dollar. Well, you didn't waste a dollar, because it's going to go to good use. But you're not getting $10 from me, because I'm not a vending machine. These TV evangelists that want to, you know, or the prosperity preaching and all that, that is not only is that not biblical, but that's not even faith. There's nothing. And let me tell you something. If somebody ever came to me, and I'm waiting for the day that somebody will come in and say, yeah, I'm a faith healer, I'm going to say, good, I'm glad you're here. Let me drive you to the hospital, and I expect to see those patients walking out one at a time. Prove it. Prove it. If you're a faith healer, if you have the power to call on command. Now, did God ever do that with people? Sure he did. God gave the apostles the power to heal. He gave that to them. Jesus gave them that power before he went back to heaven because he wanted them to have credibility in the world. He said, so Tim's one of Jesus' apostles. And he says, Tim, I'm going to give you the same power that I had to heal people. And Tim could go around and heal people in Jesus' name. And that would help people come to believe this brand new thing called Christianity. Are you following me? But the Bible also says that ended with the apostles. That ended. So now that doesn't mean God cannot heal. Please don't misunderstand. God can heal. Can he? And he does. And if we pray about it, and sometimes God will answer, but not always. And God's not a vending machine, and it's not an automatic thing. And anybody who says so is a fraud. They're also one of the most selfish people in the world for not going into hospitals and healing people. Take them down to Children's Hospital. You want to see some heartache, you go down to Children's Hospital. And you just spend a day down. Look, if you want to feel good about your life, Mom and Dad, go down and sit in the lobby of Children's Hospital, and you will go home and hug your kids and love your kids more than you ever did in your life. And love your life. Anyway, that's a totally different thing. But God is saying here, he's saying, look, faith is simply this. Here's what, can I make faith real simple? Faith is simply believing that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. Amen. That's what faith is. So if I have faith in God, it means, God, I believe that you're God. I believe that you created this universe. I believe you are all powerful. And I believe you're holy. And I believe you always do what is in the best interest of people. It may not be likable. We may not like what you do. We may not like some of the testings that you allow into our lives. But we also know that he always wants something good to come of it. So that's it. That's exactly right. Exactly right. So faith is simply believing that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he said he'll do. So this is what James is telling us. James is telling us, look, be happy when you find yourself in a trial because God has already said he wants to make something good coming. He wants to build your faith. He wants you to be stronger coming out than you were coming in. He wants you to be stronger than you were. What you and I were got us into trouble, yes? I'm going to say it again. What you and I are and were, that's what got us into trouble. He said, now I want to make you better than that, so this time you can avoid that trouble and find a new trouble. But we keep eliminating troubles, we keep getting victory over those things, and eventually we're going to run out of troubles and we're going to go to heaven. Okay, but life is all about learning from that. And he says, the only way you can really grow, those that are ready for it, those that have been exercised. The word exercise, that's the Bible, that's what the Bible talks about. Actually, by the way, though, the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. I can tell you, little exercise doesn't profit you at all. So, just a little word of advice there. What was I talking about? Again, I'm scatterbrained today. What was I talking about, Julie? God. It's like the kids, they come up out of Sunday. What'd you learn about in Sunday school today? God. Faith. He said, I want you to grow in your faith. I want you to be stronger in your faith. You know, again, God may not have been a part of getting me into trouble, but he wants to be a part of getting me out of trouble. Here's the problem, though. Here's the problem. It's almost never an easy or quick way out. That's the problem. See, I want my problem to go away right now. I want to lose my problem. I want it to go away, and I want it to go away right now. And here's what God is saying. God is saying, here's the thing, though. What you want to lose, I want to use. See, the problem isn't that God's not ready to take my problems away. The problem is I haven't changed most of the time. When God allows something to linger, when God isn't ready to, and I'm going to get ahead of myself here. So James tells us the most important part then. He says, okay, and by the way, can we go back to verse 3? Let's go back to verse 3. So if it was a short thing anyway, how would it work patience? Right? See, we know that it's almost never a quick way out of the trials or quick way out of the temptations, quick way out of the mess we get into sometimes, or sometimes just simply the maybe we're lured. Sometimes we're lured into temptation. But either way, it's not always a quick or easy way out. He said that's why it works patience. It doesn't work patience if it gets fixed right away. Amen. That's why moms and dads need to sometimes let their children struggle to get out of the mess they've made. Right? All the young moms are like, because if we enable people, and I'm not talking about children, but this Ken and Kim can tell you this. Look, these are experts right here. They will tell you, you do not help an addict by giving them all the help they ever asked for. Sometimes they have to struggle. Sometimes they have to be homeless. Well, that sounds cold, but that's true. That's true. Sometimes they need to be told no. One of our deacons asked me advice this morning about somebody and said, look, you know, here's what I'm struggling with this. I'm trying to help this person. It's like, you know what? You're being too nice. You're trying to be there for them. That person needs to suffer a little bit. That person needs to struggle a little bit. And look, and those of you know me, you know that I'm not that. I give advice that I don't take. I get it. Okay? I'm a softy. But that is the right advice sometimes. So he said, look, the only way you're going to learn is through this. So James gives us the most important part. Look at verse 4. Got to hurry here. He said, verse 4. Here's the key. Here's the key to the whole thing. He said, let's back up. Just leave that up there. He said, so remember, you got into a temptation or you got into a trial. He said, now, it's there, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But he said, but you've got to let patience do her perfect work. In other words, you've got to let patience mature. You've got to finish it. You've got to stay in there until you are mature and complete, lacking nothing. Here's the thing. We get into a trouble and we say things like, boy, God, if you'll just get me out of this, then I will do thus and so. And God says, no, you do thus and so, and then we'll talk about getting you out of that. I'm going to say that again. I know we don't like it. But we say, God, if you will get me out of this, if you'll get me out of debt, if you'll get me out of this, and then I will do this for you. And he says, no, you mature now. You let this trial you're in, you let it change you now, and then we'll talk about getting you out of it. Because God knows if he just gets us out of it now, we don't learn anything, and we don't grow. But we have a timetable we want to impose on God. We have a timetable that we want God to do. God, Pastor, I've been coming to church now for 3 weeks and God hasn't done anything for me. Good for you. Bully for you. Too bad Mavis isn't here. Bully, that's an English expression, isn't it? Bully for you. He says, you know, we do this all the time. We think, man, I've been doing this. I've been giving money to the church. I've been doing this. And we don't realize those are all good things, but God is waiting for us to change. He's waiting for us to change, to grow, to learn, because otherwise it's been a wasted trial. Otherwise, it's just simply us punishing ourselves. Think about it. If you and I get ourselves into a mess financially, health-wise, or any other way, relationship, and we get ourselves into that, and we say, God, get me out of this, and he says, no, you need to fix what got you into it first. You need to let me fix you, let me change you. If we don't do that, then we have wasted it. We have just punished ourselves with something, and we're never going to grow. We're just going to keep repeating it. Doesn't the Bible say something about a dog returning to its vomit? We got a couple of kids in the room. Well, we got a whole bunch of kids in the room. We actually have some that are that age. So, you ever watched a dog do that? You ever watch a dog throw up and then go back and get it? Did you ever watch a cat throw up and then the dog comes and eats it? Did you ever? No, never mind. Yeah, point made. But you know, he said, look, you're just going to keep doing the same things over and over again. You're going to keep messing up. If you don't use that opportunity, he said, this is why it should be a joyful time. Because what got you into this is not joyful. Don't celebrate your sin. Don't celebrate your mistakes. Don't celebrate your bad judgment. But once you're in the situation, let God make something good come out of it. Amen. Romans 8:28. So he's saying, let something good come of that. So what? Here's the thing, and I'm going to move on here. So you and I, we're waiting for the situation to change. God is waiting for us to change. Part of the trial isn't even about the situation that we're in. Part of the trial is is about whether or not we're going to stick it out long enough for God to do what God wants to work, wants to do. You know, we get so focused on the situation now. We want out now. We want our relationship and our marriage. Look, too many people, that's the thing. So your marriage has troubles. And too many people say, well, you know what? I just want a new marriage. I just want a new husband. I want a new wife. Look, every older couple in this room, probably there was a time in their lives when they thought about, maybe I should just move on. Maybe I should get someone else. I said older people, Julie, not you. And you can't speak for Tim anyway. Never, oh, sorry. Look, if they had just bailed, then they wouldn't have the marriage they have today. We wouldn't have them as examples today. We wouldn't have them to look at and get advice from and be so encouraged by that. But this is how we are. We want out. So okay, this relationship isn't working. I'm just going to get out of it. This my health situation. When God doesn't work on our timetable, we tend to get frustrated and we tend to say, maybe God's not on my side. Now please listen to me. This is not a threat. I didn't mean that. Please listen to me. It's like, please listen to me, boy. Please listen. That is where the real test of our faith is. When we get to the point where we're thinking, I don't know if God is on my side here. I don't know if God cares about me. That is where your faith is being tested. That's where we're being tried. You know, sometimes the things, again, that we want to lose, God wants to use. Let me illustrate this. You know, let me just ask a question. Do you have something in your life right now that is causing you stress, anger, fear, some kind of trial, some kind of temptation, and you're thinking, I don't know if God's leading me right. I don't know if God's going to help me. I don't know if God even cares about me. Ken, would you come up and help me, please? Ken, do you want to be me or be God? You want to be God, trust me. Okay. You want to be God. Come on, up here. Up here. You're God. Okay. See, here's the thing. I'm supposed to follow God. If I follow God, He will lead me properly, right? So God wants to take me a certain direction. But you know, and so start taking me a different direction. Now, hold on a sec. But here's what we do. We don't like to be led. You know, we're tempted. Do you know that every direction that I go that's not straight ahead puts more tension in my life? Right? You feeling tension in your life? See, when God wants to go a certain direction and I don't want to go that direction, there's tension in my life. If I want to go a different way. And by the way, I can feel this tension. I can feel this tension. And then here's what my mind does. My mind says, okay, look, here's what I know. I don't know how much tension that can take before it breaks. And I don't know for sure that God's not going to let go of me. So here's what I know. If God lets go, I get hurt. I trust you, buddy. See, something's got me. If He lets go, I get hurt. And that's where some of you are. That's where some Christians are. They say, you know what? I just don't feel like God cares anymore. And if God lets go of me, I'm going to get hurt. Or if God doesn't manage this situation. See, God says He knows how much I can take. God says He knows how all this can work out. But I don't know how all this can work out. If God doesn't manage this situation, I'm going to get hurt. Yes? You all agree that if He lets go of that, I'm going to get hurt. If it breaks, I'm going to get hurt. So do you know what too many Christians do? When we get to this place, James said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience. You got to stick it out. Amen. You got to hang in there. until God decides you've changed and wants to help you come out of that. And there's also sometimes some human consequences for our decisions, right? Say, well, I got myself into this debt. God, get me out of this debt. He said, look, you bought all that stuff. You did all that. I can't just, God's not just going to get us out of debt overnight. And there's, but every time I rebel, every time I resist God, there's more and more tension. But I have one way, I have another way I can let the tension go away from me. See, I can just let go. I can just let go of God. And then only He gets hurt. Only He gets hurt. It's kind of like, and please don't, I wouldn't hurt anybody in this room for anything in the world, but it's kind of like the reason people commit suicide. Because the tension is so strong, and they just let go. And they think, then I won't hurt anymore. But boy, you sure cause pain on the other end of that. Hey, please hear me. Please, I beg of you. Don't ever, ever, ever commit suicide without talking to people around you first. Don't do that. All you do is transfer the pain. I could transfer the pain and the tension in my life by letting go of this. It's going to hurt Him a lot. And it will hurt God a lot when people, it hurts God a lot when people walk away from Him. When people let go and just say, you know what, I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of waiting for you to do something for me. I'm tired of you not coming through for me when I've prayed to you, I've asked you, I've begged you, I've wept, I've had other people pray for you, and you haven't answered my prayer. This is how people feel, right? They don't say it. But God knows that's how we feel. That's what's inside. And God is saying, look, I just want you, you know what? God is saying this. He's saying, do you know the best way to reduce that tension? I just go to Him. See, if I just go the same direction He's going, that tension begins to go away. And then nobody gets hurt. Thank you. That's the only good choice, folks. I'm done. That's the only good choice. If you're in a trial right now, a testing right now, I know that Ben, I prayed for about 4 months for you to get a new job when you first voiced that on a Wednesday night. I don't know how long you pray. How long did you pray for a new job? 3 years. 3 years. Just got it this week. But God didn't just give him one, He gave his wife one too. But look, he could have quit any time. In 3 years, he could have quit. He could have let go. You wanted to, there are times you were tempted to let go, weren't you? He wanted to let go and say, you know what? God doesn't care. God's not answering. God's not hearing me. God is cold to me. But no, but he stayed in there until he was able to mature and be complete. And this is what God wants from all of us when we find ourselves in a trial. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience do her perfect work. Stick it out. Hang in there. Don't quit. Figure out why the tension is still there between you and God. I can tell you why it's still there. Because He's wanting to go one way, and you're resisting. And somebody's going to get hurt if we don't yield and start going the direction that God wants us to go.